So please welcome Tim Crowley.
Back in February, George Kennedy died. You might not recognize his name, but you would recognize his face because he was a consummate character actor, a constant presence in movies and TV from 1960s onward. In 67, he won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor, playing opposite Paul Newman in Cool Hand Luke. And in the 70s, he starred in two TV series, Sarge, where he played an ex-cop turned priest, and The Blue Knight, based on the Joseph Wambach novel, where he played Bumper Morgan, a tough LAPD beat cop with an ass two nightsticks wide. I remember that show because sometimes it'd be on when I'd come home stoned at night, and I'd sit down and watch some or all of it with my family. But by then, most of my encounters with the LAPD were a little less than positive because that show was on during my senior year, and I had changed a whole lot from when I first read that Wambach novel back in 1973, back during my first year at John H. Francis Polytechnic High School. In that freshman year, I took the ASVAB, the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery, a test that figures out what jobs you're qualified for in the military and what you'd be best at. The Vietnam War was winding down, and I was 14 or 15, and I wanted to do what I have always wanted to do, what I still want to do. I wanted to get high. I wanted to fly. So I took the test, and a few weeks later, I got a call from one of the recruiters that stocked our high school, and he told me to meet him in the room that our school has set aside for recruiters to meet with kids. And we had a good talk, but it was like trying to buy a new car. I couldn't get a straight answer. So we set up another meet. And even though I didn't get an answer, I did get all kinds of cool military bling, like pencils and pins and book covers. And I was reading one of those book covers in my math class, and it was an Army book cover. And I was captivated by the idea of driving a tank or flying a helicopter, but I think I was reading too many novels, too much literature for my own good back then, and I was reading way above my grade level. Not that I'm smart. I mean, I'm pretty good at English and history and some of the sciences, but I suck at math and shop and any class that requires a yes or a no, a true or a false, a pass or a fail. Any class I can't bullshit my way through. So, I was reading these novels like Catch 22 and MASH and All Quiet on the Western Front, and I thought, and I was reading that book cover, and I thought, this doesn't seem quite right, and I had never felt that way about the military before. So I took that little thought, that subversive seed, and I buried it. I buried it deep. And I noticed that if I blacked out a few key letters on that book cover, that it spelled out Poet in big black capital letters running vertically down the front of my math book, and I altered it. And a few days later, I went for that second meet to see the recruiter. And I don't know if he was an Army recruiter or a Navy recruiter or just a general recruiter, but he kept looking at my notebook, my books, and back at me and at my books, and I didn't know what was going on until I noticed that that book was on the very top of the pile, my altered book pile. And I don't know if I did that on purpose or not, but it was kind of awkward. But we still had a pretty good talk, and we discussed my strengths and my weaknesses. And he told me that the United States government had figured out that I should be an air traffic controller. And I was good with that because I must have read Arthur Nailey's novel, Airport, at least three times when I was a kid. You know the story, they made a movie in 1970 starring Burt Lancaster, Dean Martin, and George Kennedy played the crusty, no-nonsense chief mechanic, Joe Petroni. And they made a lot of airport movies, maybe as many as Rocky movies. And towards the end, I think they were even flying around in space shuttles. And George Kennedy was always there. And one of the subplots to that novel is about an air traffic controller, and I must have read those passages over and over again. And when I was an air explorer, we got to actually tour a regional air traffic control center. And it was just like in the movies. It was big and dark, and it looked just like Mission Control, except that it was dark. And there was dozens and dozens of guys. I don't remember any women except the ones working in the cafeteria. And all those guys were wearing white shirts and walking around with these headsets that they could listen and talk to on. And the only sound was a constant background murmur of them saying things like, Eastern 415, please heading 210, report when passing through flight level 51. And everything was state of the art. But Airport, both the movie and the novel, didn't age very well. Or maybe they did, and I didn't. But by my junior year, I had forgotten my fascination with all things Airport. And then, about 16, 17 years later, I was a prison guard living and working in Avenal, California. And I was miserable, and I wanted to change my situation. And this weird thought came bubbling up from somewhere, and I looked into what it took to be an air traffic controller, and I studied the test, and I drove to Fresno, and I took the test, and I was pressing my luck because they won't hire you after you're 30, and I was 29, and I did okay on the test, but before my name percolated to the top, I aged out, and it was the first time that I was ever too old to have a job. But it didn't really matter because I managed to get transferred over to CMC before then, and we moved back to Morro Bay, and everything got infinitely better, and I forgot and let go of that childhood fascination again. And then, about 16 or 17 years later, I was still working at CMC, and I bid for and got a new job, second watch in the Plaza Tower. Now, second watch is a civilized watch, 6 a.m. till 2 p.m., and the Plaza Tower, well, the Plaza Tower stands right in the middle of the prison, and it's the shortest tower. It's only 25 feet tall, and since it's in the prison, it is the only tower without guns. When you work in the Plaza Tower, you sit in front of this stainless steel console with two TV screens and about 40 glowing buttons that flash and beep and look at you, and you have microphones, and you have radios, and you have a panoramic view through these 5-foot windows that surround you on 8 sides of the whole plaza, which is a square about 120 feet on its side, surrounded by big cement buildings, and it has a big road that surrounds the Plaza Tower and a sidewalk with the inmates walking all over. And they want to leave their quads, which are exit out on the corner of the quads, and you control these big floor-to-ceiling turnstiles that they have to walk in. And they push buttons and lights light up, and you push that button, they come through, and they have to show you a card. And if you don't like what they say, you hit the lock button, and they're stuck in there, and you get on your radio and go, Plaza 3, we have one in Charlie incoming, would you go and get them? And I spent the last 5 years of my life, my 5 years of my career with the CDC in the Plaza Tower. And sometimes I'm sitting there directing the traffic there in the plaza, controlling everything in the heart of the prison. I look back on those childhood fantasies and laugh, thinking that I'd ever wanted to be an air traffic controller.